In Brussels today, the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry reaffirmed the so-called special relationship between the U.S. and the U.K. after last week's Brexit vote.
Good friends are important all of the time, but they are especially important in complex times. And I want to make it clear that at this moment of challenge, the United States of America knows it could not ask for a better friend and ally than the United Kingdom.
Meanwhile, global markets continue to tumble, and the rating agency S&P today downgraded the UK's sovereign credit rating from AAA to AA. For more on what the Brexit means for you and your wallet, we're joined by Jill Schlesinger, business analyst with CBS News and host of Jill on Money. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jeremy.
And does this look to you like a temporary blip in the markets or something bigger, something more long-term?
Well, I think it's more long-term because we are having a process laid out in front of us that could last two and a half years. And because of that uncertainty, because we don't really understand the process and how it will affect the economies of Great Britain, as well as the European Union, even ours, it's hard to say that uncertainty is going to somehow be lifted miraculously. So I think we're with a little bit of volatility here for some time and at least the foreseeable future.
Why is there such uncertainty? I mean, we know that there's uncertainty because we don't know what's going to happen next. But does it surprise you that people were so caught off guard by this? There were two possibilities. Either they leave or they stay. This was what you would think that people would have gamed this out a little bit more and been prepared.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised because I would talk to traders and hedge fund managers and private equity people who seems almost like smug, like there's no way that's ever going to happen. And, you know, you say to yourself, but the polls are pretty close. No. You'll see. It'll be just like Scottish independence 2 years
right.
ago. The polls look close, but then it really wasn't. And so I think that there was an element of that they wouldn't really possibly do such a thing. And when it happened, that's perhaps part of the outsized reaction early on, especially in the wee hours of the morning in our futures markets. But that said, let's be clear that the leaving process can go lots of different ways. There's a model whereby the UK just leaves the EU and they don't benefit from any part of that single market. They rely on the World Trade Organization, and that's the basis of trading. Now, that would be very severe. There are folks who think, well, the Norwegian model is probably more like it for the UK. That would be the UK leaving the European Union. They join something called the European Economic Area. So you get the 28 EU member states plus Norway, Iceland, and Liechtenstein. And you get some of the great benefits of the EU, the free movement of goods and services and capital. But in that model, you also get the free movement of people. And that is linked to immigration. And I'm questioning in my head, well, if you've just built an entire campaign to leave,
right,
primarily on immigration, are they going to really agree to that? And then finally, there's this model called the Swiss model. And, you know, Switzerland is sort of an entity unto itself in Europe. And in that model, you don't join any sort of economic area union. What you do is you negotiate with European industries directly. And with some industries, you've got big access, and others, not so much.
And the other thing about Switzerland is, unlike the United Kingdom, it's so heavily Swiss. I mean, it's not near as diverse as the United Kingdom. So it would surprise me if the UK can say, we're going to go with the Swiss model and try to be just like Switzerland because they are so different. But what, Jill, does it mean for people in this country and for ordinary Americans as they watch this? We spoke with Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary, and here's what he said about that.
You know, the experience is that when you try to outguess the markets, you usually end up selling at the bottom and buying at the top. And so the advice I would give anyone who's not an investment professional is just stay the course.
That's what they always say, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, and for the first time in my life, I might say I agree with Larry Summers. Now, that said, I disagree with one part, which is he said for, you know, ordinary investors. I would say that professional investors are often dumber than the rest of us. And the reason is what they do is they blow out of all their positions when they're freaked out and caught off guard, just like they're doing today and they did Friday. And they then scramble in and chase the markets higher because they don't know how to market time better than anyone else does. So, okay, absolutely. You don't want to let your emotions dictate your investment decisions. You're a long-term investor. You don't have all your eggs in one basket. I get that. On the other hand, I want to be clear. If you need money for something and you, whoops, by mistake, had that money at risk, you got to get out of that position. So if you had your kid's college tuition money that's due in a couple of months in an S&P 500 fund, you've got to sell it. You've got to get out, free up that money, and make sure it's protected. For everyone else, be happy. You're buying shares on sale. That's a good thing. You kind of embrace this volatility. And look, don't look at your stock positions. Look at your bond positions. They're doing beautifully.
And it seems like every time you see a big, bad day in the stock market, that's where Warren Buffett makes all of his money. Buy low, sell high.
And I want to say one last thing. I know a lot of people are saying there is no financial crisis ahead. I feel very strongly that this could lead to some very scary unintended consequences. I don't think it will, but I don't think we should be as sanguine as we were going into the vote and not at least consider those possibilities.
Well, on that note, Jill Schlesinger, business analyst with CBS News, thank you.
Take care.